following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Let's tidy up this tangle of film by putting it on a reel. Here is a motion picture film, 1,000 feet, 16,000 separate photographs.
Welcome, everybody.
Everybody, I am Michael.
I'm Emily.
I'm Antonio.
And we're your real debaters, where we're the art of cinema meets the power of debate. Thank you for tuning in to another episode, ladies and gentlemen. And you, listener, what do we have on the show today? Emily, what do we have on the show today?
What we have on the show today is the culmination of my entire life experience into just the moment that I didn't know I was waiting for. We're doing movie qualms. Thank God.
Tony asked me, he goes like, how did you come up with this episode? And I was like, I saw an article and was like, we should talk about movie quotes.
I didn't even know that this is what I was training for, but like, shout out to my mom filling my brain with this nonsense. It's finally going to do something.
It has a place.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is exactly what it is. And like, when we say movie quotes, if you've listened to the show, if this is your first time listener, we'll tune you in. What we do here on the show is we like to deconstruct other people's curated lists and weigh them against what we think here on the show for two reasons. One, it's fun to bring in other people, but two, I'm a lazy bastard. So it's just easy to pull the list. And then, you know, low rent for homework, right? Like, it's easy, it's done. Someone else did the work. So so what we're going to do today is we've got an article from Collider dated, when is this fucker dated? 5 days ago, published. So it's relatively recent, and it's the 10 most quotable screenplays of the 21st century, which is the article that inspired all of this. And I didn't even tell Emily what the episode was till like 2 days ago. And I was like, movie quotes, you cool? And then, excellent. Yes. Perfect.
Perfection.
And then I hit you like Friday night when we were out. And I was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, movie quotes. And you're like, yeah. And I'm like, this is the universal language.
It is.
That I think we're going to go down today.
Bucket list complete.
I'm glad I've put together the right crew here. So we're gonna talk about that list. And then we're going to go down somebody's IMDb list of the most quotable movies and things we can talk about. And we're going to ask the questions like, what's our favorite? What's our most memorable? And at the end of this episode, we're going to tell you there's a voicemail that you can leave all your answers on at any given time. If you feel like doing that, it's at the link in the show notes. Go hit it. Leave your ideas. We'd love to hear your quote done in the impression of that person.
Oh, my goodness.
If you really want to break it.
That's really now stretching it for, you know, what you want.
Yeah, I won't be doing any impressions today. Really? But no, impressions aren't my thing. But if you want like word for word quotes from movies of all types.
You want the tood in the quote?
Oh,
you
yeah, can do yeah, it. I can do the tood. I can do my best approximation, but I'm not an impressionist.
Well, then Tony, it's up to you to pick up slack. I expect a Broadway performance here this evening.
We will do our best.
Okay, listeners. Get in the character. Get in the character.
Which one?
All 100 of them.
So first and foremost, before we get into it, we just want to talk about us for a second here. So we got something coming up April 23rd. We're doing movie trivia from The Handsome Daughter. We have done some movie bingo nights there in the past, listener. If you've been to them, you know we don't know how to bingo well. So we do know how to trivia, though.
We do trivia better than anybody.
I think I'm very fine with that sentence. And we're going to do it there. We're going to do four rounds. This is one we've done before. We've tweaked it a little bit. We've added some stuff. We're going to do four rounds. General movie trivia to get everybody warmed up right at stroke 7. And then we're going to break into the 90s. Ooh. So if your age is something around that area of your cinema knowledge exists in the 90s, this one's for you. Then we're going to do some Steven Spielberg. This is not your Empire of the Sun Steven Spielberg. This is more of your Hook, E.T. Steven Spielberg. Maybe some Ready Player One in there. Definitely, we're going to need a bigger boat with that one. Speaking of movie quotes, there it is. That's how it starts. And the last round, we've added Harry Potter. So for all you muggles out there, there's going to be a whole round dedicated to Harry Potter. And it's $5. Tickets are on sale right now. You can get them on Eventbrite or in the show notes. It's pretty easy to do. They're a lot of fun. And Little Brown Chuck, sorry. Handsome Daughter. We've been doing it too many places, so now it's all
muddled together.
You're saying, we're just too popular.
Yeah, so
really,
that's not what I'm saying.
Happened.
But like at the Handsome Daughter, they've changed from chicken to hot dogs. They're doing gourmet hot dogs. You can get a Nathan's hot dog, a steamed bun. They've got like a Japanese dog. They've got this one that I like, which is like caramelized onions and cream cheese, and it's delicious.
Do they
absolutely
have
delicious
veggie dogs?
They have veggie dogs.
Nice.
They have veggie dogs. And like, you can get like a dog, a beer, and some old Dutch chips for like $10, I think.
What a steal.
Right? Like, so if you're into hot dogs and trivia, April 23rd, 7 p.m., buy your tickets now. This is our first time there, so we have no idea. We could be doing it in front of 12 of you, and you're definitely going to win a prize. Or we could be doing it in front of 70, and it's going to be a lot harder.
It's
numbers
not our first time there. We've done events at the Hands of
Dog
before.
We have done events there before, yeah. We're just, we're engaging a different area of the city.
Oh, all right.
And we're new to these people, and we want to be really good friends with the West Broadway area. So come on down, April 23rd, 7 p.m. I think that's about it. So without further ado, let's talk about what we came here to talk about. Movies. Eeny, meeny, miney. Tony's been the longest since you've been here. You go first. What'd you watch this week?
Oh, crap. Put me on the spot. No, the biggest thing I binged was Ripley off Netflix.
Ripley. Tell us about it. I saw it. I don't know anything about it.
Oh, you didn't watch it?
No.
Okay. For those of you who have Netflix, Ripley, of course, is the take on, for most of you who would have known, The Talented Mr. Ripley in the 90s with Matt Damon, which was actually, a cinematic off of a book.
Yeah, yeah.
But this version, which was done, I think, in many ways better than the Matt Damon version, was totally filmed in black and white. So it really made, things very opaque in how Ripley viewed the world.
Netflix did a horrible job of presenting
promoting
this
it.
Because
yes.
None of this is in the little box.
No.
Even a word of related to the Ripley universe would have sucked me in.
Yeah, and I think Netflix, maybe as most streaming services, are getting trapped that after COVID, we're no longer trapped in our homes. And therefore, if you want us to be brought into your streaming services, you actually do a better job of...
You have to elevate.
To promote it, as opposed to just an upcoming message inside the Netflix system itself.
Who's in it? I love who's in it. I remember him from Fleabag.
I want to say Adam Scott, but it's not.
You keep talking, I'll pull
Andrew
it up.
Scott is
Andrew,
actually...
Yeah, that's it. He played the priest in Fleabag.
Correct. And Dakota Fanning is also in it.
Oh, really?
Who does a decent
Dakota
version.
Dakota Fanning's back?
She is. And she, I don't know if she's been really gone away. She's been doing a few series here and there.
I just remember
she
her
did
being
a,
like...
A time piece. She did a time period piece recently.
Really? Ooh. I remember as a little kid from Uptown Girls. Where she's like, fundamentals are the building blocks of fun.
Movie quote.
Oh, yeah, movie quote, yeah.
Seriously?
There it is.
Your first memory of her is an Uptown Girl.
Yeah, I know.
Interesting.
Uptown Girls.
I loved that movie.
Did you happen to catch Ripley, Emily?
I haven't seen it, no, okay. But I didn't even know it was a thing, honestly. So there you go, back to the point about them not doing very good advertising. But
yeah, a grifter named Ripley living in New York during the 1960s is hired by a wealthy man to begin a complex life of deceit, fraud, and murder. I mean, okay, that is the synopsis of The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah, well, Talented Mr. Ripley is one of my... We've talked about it before.
Yes. About it before.
When we talked about Saltburn, how I felt Saltburn had like the Talented Mr. Ripley vibe.
Yes, yeah.
Because I love Talented... Like, what a weird movie. Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
Steven Zalian is the director. Black and white. How is that? Is that... See, I can't get Shauna to watch black and white. It just takes her right out.
You know what? It actually adds a great element. It keeps you in that 1960s kind of vibe.
Is it noirish?
It's very noirish in many ways. It's a very slow burn, I think 8 episodes, almost running like they're each the chapter of the book. And so there are moments where they're just panning him walking in the rain and his reflection in the water and stuff like that. There's beautiful cinematic moments. Of course, all of Italy is being portrayed from Naples to Sicily to Venice, and they're beautifully captured and so forth.
There's the hook. Now I see why you pulled into this.
So there's great that part. Some might compare to the Matt Damon, which, this was... over 8, so you've got to stretch this out. It's not a 2-hour to build this all up.
Yeah.
They kind of downplay the homoeroticism per se between the characters just a little bit. It's mentioned, it's brought up, it's a factor in some things.
Did you read the book?
I did read the book.
Okay.
Should I read it? That was going to be my next question.
I would actually recommend to people to read it. Because like you said, like with Saltburn and a lot of those movies, there's elements and references across the board. So if you're a great fan of cinema, the Talented Mr. Ripley and its capacity or its what it's trying to narrate or tell is pulled into other forms or other genres or other movies. So it's a good reference point.
Nice.
And
is it going to stay as a miniseries? Like it's one and done kind of thing?
Yeah. Because
we're going to go.
I mean, at the end of the day, you don't know. I mean, he technically, not to spoil it for people, but you get the impression he gets away with it in the end, but or he doesn't. And so it that's done really well. But I don't know if they're going to hopefully ever come back with part two and find out.
Yeah.
Or he keeps on going. I think it just keep it in.
He didn't die.
Yep. So that is what I binged this weekend. That was me.
Any movies in this world of yours? Or are we just because like I'm watching a ton of TV. I've built my movie list, but.
Yeah, like I'm trying to think where I watched.
You asked me Friday night, the last good movie I watched, and I told you it was Bone Tomahawk, which is on that list. I know, and we laughed. But like, what was the last good movie you watched?
Well, the last movie that I went out and saw was Dune.
I still haven't seen that.
Neither have I. I think we need to. Okay, we might need to go together.
I think we might.
Seriously,
yeah.
How are you two?
I know. I've been waiting for like everyone's got. I've been calling it the Dune boner. Like everybody's got it, right? Yeah. They're so excited about it. So I'm just kind of waiting for it to die down so that I can go to. If I go to the theater, I'm not going to be like squished in
between
like
Dune
700
boners.
Other people. Yeah. Yeah, with Dune boners everywhere. And so I actually don't really
call
like...
that a sandworm.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We've gone through this before too. I don't really like going to the theater, which is like very strange a cinephile. But I like to be at home in my jammies,
okay,
so I can pause and pee and you know whatever. Like the drinks are cheap and stuff like that. So when I do,
you're getting charged in your own home.
every time Dan brings me one, I have to pay him a couple dollars. So I will go probably in theaters because of the spectacle, but I need it to be a little less claustrophobic, I think.
I recommend it. Like for those of you, like we had people who went and saw, they were like, they read all the books. They were the fanatics from the 80s and all of it and comparing. And there were people who had never, like myself, had ever read the books, but familiar just through conversations. Yeah. It is beautiful on the very large screen. So you do have that to look forward to, that overimposing full scope of the worlds and all of that. And then these giant sandworms that they're riding across.
I've heard of these things.
The Sahara Desert.
They make popcorn buckets out of them, don't they?
They do, actually, which was at not all the theaters, though.
No, only AMC in America had that. Yeah. I know, I didn't have anything to fuck that weekend either. I was upset.
It's probably for the best.
I'd still be trapped in it if that had been
and
the case.
And we never saw him again. Yeah.
Where is he? He's dealing with something.
So is it hype? Like all the hype? Was it lived up to it?
You know what? It was enjoyable to watch. There are moments for me that you had to like really focus because they're just saying names and characters and all of that, and you're trying to keep it all together. And then if you hadn't rewatched a bit of one just to pick yourself up to where this was, and there's a lot of that behind who's running whom and who's pulling the strings on what. I'm not going to lie. I didn't necessarily buy the full transformation of the Mr. Chalamet's character.
Who
is basically like, no, I don't want to lead you. No, I'm not your messiah. And then all of a sudden storming into the great hall and going,
never mind, I'm a messiah.
Correct.
I'm a messiah.
Yeah, fair enough.
Everyone follow me. And you're just like, that was a quick change. Just because you drank some, you know, sandworm urine and all of a sudden went,
that's all it takes?
That all it apparently takes.
That's like the GNC of the planet.
It basically is, yes.
It's the creatine of the Fremen.
Pre-workout. Let's go.
I'm not going to lie.
Pre-sandworm.
Yeah. It's the Mountain Dew of space.
But like that, in an, like, I mean, let's talk about like Blade Runner 2049.
Yes.
Good story, right? Yes. What was the alien one? Alive? No, not Alive. With Jeremy Renner. The one he did where they get on the alien ship. Arrival.
Oh, Arrival. Okay.
Arrival. Super beautiful, right? Like, he, good story. I feel Dune is not his, like, he's not a writer-director, but he is a director that can extrapolate a lot more, and I think he's bound by so much in this, because it is a previous copy of a novel that, like, everybody and their fucking dog has consumed.
And that, like, is a defining part of science fiction, like, growth, right? Like, So it's, I can totally see wanting to be really close to the book.
Careful
with the story.
To your point, like the there were tons of Dune boners all around us, and you could just hear them like, that's from book this, and that's like, you're having to condense multiple books into these moments here, and then everyone's upset that this wasn't fully fleshed out.
I wasn't given exactly what I wanted when I read the interpretation off the page. Fuck, grow up.
Exactly.
I want to agree, but that's like me watching Harry Potter. I'm like, this movie makes no sense.
This is not how I remembered
it. The books are way better.
That was in the back of my mind. I'm glad you said it. I'm sure there's a lot of Harry Potters that's going to come out to your trivia night where they're just like, no.
Is it book trivia or movie trivia?
It's we're a movie podcast.
There you go.
If you ask me for book trivia, I'm going to give you your money back.
Then you have to make sure that I'm there. I'll give
That's
you the movie
the trivia at the library, kids. This is the trivia at the bar. I haven't been able to see it just because of fucking spring break.
Oh,
like that really threw. I wasn't planning on spring break at all because A, I have no children.
Yes,
and B, I have less than no children. So like it doesn't register until it happens, and then I'm like, oh my God, all of my plans got shifted by a week, but I didn't buy tickets for Dune to begin with.
Yeah.
So
why did you have to shift your plans for spring break without children?
Because every time I tried to go see the movie, I couldn't get tickets.
Because the children are
out, right?
The infestation of children.
Yeah, and it's like, and those movies, so Godzilla, Ghostbusters, and Dune
are all— Oh my God, I want to see Ghostbusters too.
Older nerds taking younger child nerds to the movie, their children, not just random children nerds. But like,
you don't know that.
Well, hey, listen, the world I live in, they're related. But like when they go to the movie, they go en masse for those. So like getting a single seat was even impossible. Like,
right.
I'm at the point where I'm like, could I see Dune at home? But then I'm like, don't let that happen.
No, you want to see this on the big screen. You do.
You need to go into it. And I want to see him stand on the worm.
Jammies and pee breaks. I'm just saying.
I did that yesterday at Godzilla. I went in my jammies, but I didn't have a pee break.
Right, because you're in the theater.
I peed myself.
Smart. It's the only way to
Mark do. Was mad. But
he's a cop.
Okay, I'm like anybody in this room. I almost trust implicitly with being like, you need to see it. You need to see it. And every time I see it, I'm like, okay, you were right.
Yeah.
So I'll make sure I do that this week. Hey, are you free this week? You got some time?
I'm free next
week.
You
got 3 hours?
I'm free next week.
It's going to be in the theaters probably until summertime. And you know what? If that movie, that movie's making theaters money now. It's past the first month. It's all money for the
theater.
You
know what? Dan's out of town next week, and I don't have the girls. So okay. I'm ready. I'm down for a movie date for sure.
Yeah. All right. I think 3 hours shall be put aside for more throat singing. Is there throat singing in this one too? I really like that sound in the first one. It really changed the.
I can't recall the throat singing. Now I'm gonna have to wait for you to get back. And
it's a huge selling feature. If there's no throat singing,
I'm
not going.
It's the soundtrack to your life now.
Yes, it is.
Okay, good to know.
My meditation music.
I will say this: Zendaya is really what sells the movie.
She rocks it more.
She's a fantastic actor. A little bit more so than the capabilities of Mr. Chalamet. I felt there was more depth of character to her. So once you know, even if you're just a big fan of hers, go out there to see her.
I feel like the Dune is the new Mummy in the way that like when I was a kid and it was like you're starting to question your sexuality because you watched the Mummy and you're like everybody's super hot in it and you're just like is it Brendan Fraser
is it Rachel Weisz
yeah and then it's like is it this guy who plays this like half naked like mummy man and now it's the same thing with Dune where you're like is it Zendaya is it Timothée Chalamet is it both
I feel like you have to have a whole podcast just to crack that the cast of the Mummy
that's like my whole like your homosexual identity.
I had a mummy boner for Brendan. I'm not gonna lie.
How could you not?
Yeah. Like Mummy, not Mommy.
Yeah.
I saw playing on the Dune boner thing.
I saw George of the Jungle. So,
oh yeah. So that we've all had the
that
Brendan
boner went away really quickly.
No, Brendan Fraser was super hot in George of the Jungle too.
Yep.
He was.
Then he spoke.
Yes. Bless well, hop it up.
You're just like muting the movie.
How many 1930s jazz clubs out of 10 do you give Ripley?
Ooh, out of 10. You know what? I'm going to give it, like I said, an 8.
Yeah.
It is a slow burn, and you really have to give up some time to it. There's some great performances, particularly by Mr. Scott. It's beautiful cinematography, beautiful shots, some great, if you're into film noir, there's a lot of throwouts for that. And just watching how he tries to get away with it, you know, based on the book, really good. But not all the performances are fantastic, and they stretched it to 8. Once again, it's one of those things where you're like, did you need all 8 chapters? Could you built it down? But
and how many
good
Dune boners out of 10?
You know, as a person who never read the books, it's sheerly out of 10, I gave it, a 7, just because it was visually beautiful to watch. I think they did a great job to try to tell the story. Like, the people beside me who were like, this was from book 29. I'm like, okay, I don't know. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it not? But, so it was good. I would, yeah. I'd really recommend it, but go see it through the visual. Just like Avatar, you need to see that thing on the big screen.
Yeah,
it,
these are built with cameras for screens of this size, for this sound, for this scene. You got to go. Like, you can watch. There's no one's saying you can't watch this shit at home. But, like, there are maybe five movies a year where you're like, the theater just amplifies the scenario.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I could have seen Godzilla at home. Wouldn't have made no difference. But, like, it was fun watching the suplexes happen in, like, a giant screen, right?
I think the last one I saw in theaters was Top Gun.
And that you, but, that was but like, you get,
because everyone said you have to see it. Yeah.
But like that was built in cockpit.
Oh yeah.
So getting that point of view, right? Like it's.
Well, it's like Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Oppenheimer, I think watching that at home is not going to be the same as watching it once it was on the big screen.
And I saw Barbie in theaters.
There you go.
Speaking of Oppenheimer, I have seen something more recently.
I saw the sequel to Barbie, or is the sequel to Barbie, which was Oppenheimer.
The sequel to Oppenheimer, which was Barbie. Yeah.
Cool. Emily, what'd you watch?
Well, in keeping with my usual vibe, which is rewatching things that I love to just manage my anxiety to some tolerable level, I have been rewatching Parks and Rec.
Yay.
And Parks and Rec is just like Leslie Knope is just like, I don't know. I love her so much and I relate to her so much, just like trying so hard to make everybody happy. And she works in politics and she's just like this dedicated like public servant. And I just I relate with her on so many levels, and all the people around her are just absolutely hilarious. And there's just not a bad moment, a bad episode, a bad season in that whole show. Like it's beginning to end, just balls to the wall hilarious.
Nice. It is a whole that's Dan Harmon, right?
Yeah, I think
it is. Parks and Rec, he's Community. He was Community.
He was Community.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know who created it.
Yeah, neither do I. But I mean, I somehow, no matter what happens in my life, I can be on a roll on TikTok or YouTube Reels or whatever, and as soon as I find clips of Parks and Rec, it defaults to the. Have you ever seen the outtake of the comeback? Oh,
it's, it is. It's written by Amy Poehler. Like
yeah,
that's just,
yeah, yeah. But okay, so it's created. It's probably created.
And Nick Offerman.
Yeah. All right, but like.
Oh, Dan Gore. That's why.
Dan Gore. Look, give me your phone for a second. Okay. Let me see the cast list here. but like when Jesus Christ, when Pratt.
Yeah.
Is
Chris Pratt.
Yeah. Thank you. Pratt. Super Mario. Garfield. Whatever Pratt you want.
Yeah.
But
Andy Dwyer. Yeah, right, Parks and Rec,
Andy Dwyer. But when Leslie and Rashida Jones's character
Ann Perkins
are talking about how everybody loves a comeback and she starts naming off different racehorses. And then Pratt raises his hand and he was like, oh, I think Kim Kardashian likes cum back too. And they're like, what do you mean? He was like, well, in that video, there was cum all over her back.
I don't think that.
And they're like, no. That's not the comeback we're talking about. But that line, 100% improvised. And then Offerman falls out of the chair and like ballistically loses himself on the floor. No matter what happens when I'm scrolling, that's the only clip I ever see of Parks and Rec. That's my point. Like, it's the only clip I know. I know it well. I can't find another fucking clip.
Yeah.
But like, you know, from the video.
From the video.
Yeah. I think that's what you...
Apparently, there's an interview with one of the writers, and he was like, the funniest line in this whole show was improvised by Chris Pratt. And it makes me so mad every day.
I saw this one too.
And like Leslie's sick and she's saying like, I have a fever and I have a cough or whatever. And he's on the computer. He's like, Leslie, I'm looking up your symptoms and I think you have something called connectivity issues.
I'm typing it in this little bar here and it says you've got connectivity issues.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's like, as a writer, I hate you, but at the same time, that's brilliant.
Yeah. It's really quite fun. It's really enjoyable.
I think it's more like, I mean, it is The Office. Like, everybody wanted to be The Office after The Office. And what little I know about it, though, there's something joyful about Parks and Rec that The Office never had.
Yes. The Office is a little bit like darker and cringier. Like, not that it's dark, but it's cringy.
It's mean.
Right? It is kind of mean. Whereas Parks and Rec is just lighthearted. Fun.
Are you watching then Abbott Elementary then? Because it's on that similar vibe of that.
I haven't seen that. No.
Yeah, Abbott is killing it, apparently. Yeah. Everyone loves Abbott.
It's okay. Yeah. Abbott Elementary.
Yeah.
Because it's in that same.
It's teachers instead of government facilities.
Government employees, yeah.
No, I started watching some Big Bang and some Friends recently just for good vibes, but like I totally know what you're getting at. We're like in the background, you hear two people having a conversation. It feels less like a show and more Like two people having a conversation in the other room.
And you know, and
a conversation you know and you smile at.
Because I know what they're about to say.
Exactly. Perfect fucking setup.
I just finished Friends not that long ago. That was one of my more recent rewatches. And Big Bang right before Friends, actually. So
nice.
I just sort of cycle through a whole bunch of them. Yeah.
Any films?
Yes. So this is courtesy of Dan. They're apparently
Dan by proxy.
Dan by proxy. Yeah, he decided that we were gonna watch this one, and it was just like I don't know what triggered it in his brain, but he was like, "We have to watch Highlander."
The original. Wow. And there can only be one.
Exactly.
Movie quote.
Yes. So. And he didn't tell me anything about it, and I've never seen it. It came out before I was born, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, like early
80s. Yeah, and I didn't know anything about it at all. And I was like, is it about Scottish people?
Like, does it travel through time?
I was like, yeah. And I was like, is it like Outlander?
It's the prequel to Outlander.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
That's what he should have told you.
So we start watching it, and then I was predicting everything. I'm like, is this magic? Is there magic in this? I was like, this is so cool. Anyway, so we watched that, and it was weird.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very weird. Very weird.
It starts weird because it's fantasy in a New York parking lot. Like, that's what's weird about it, is that it's kind of like the sci-fi aspect of Terminator, mm-hmm. where, like, the future comes to current day,
yep.
and they're, like, stuck in a different timeline. That's this kind of, where, if I'm not mistaken, like, I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
Oh, my God.
And I'm sorry, it's 86, not a release.
They're, like, it's, the synopsis of the movie is that there are these, there are these immortal beings.
Okay.
And they exist all throughout time. And at one point, there's going to be something called the Gathering. And when the Gathering happens, they're all going to be drawn to one place where they will fight to the death because there can only be one.
That's where the quote comes from.
And
is that like the Dark Crystal?
Kind of.
It's rooted in it's like Tolkien, but okay. with like current updates.
It's super weird. Anyway, and the main takeaway from that movie is who the fuck thought that it would be a good idea to cast Sean Connery as a Spaniard?
That doesn't sit well.
And also not ask him to change his accent at all.
Yes.
The weirdest shit in the world. Like, they just give him like a red like jacket and like a fancy hat with a feather, and they're like, you're Spanish now. And, like, some dark makeup.
It's much the same way in the Hunt for Red October where he was Russian and had a Scottish accent.
Exactly. And, I mean, then I can also bring up current every day. Ridley Scott loves to make a movie about a French person with an English actor not speaking with a French accent.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are people out there who make these decisions and they're fucking morons about it.
Anyway, it was a super weird movie, but I enjoyed it a lot.
It's in the heart of the 80s.
I could totally see why... Like,
it has a cult following.
A 10-year-old Dan would have loved that movie. That makes perfect sense to me. Yeah. I wasn't the target audience, but it was entertaining for sure.
It's powerful dude with a big sword.
Yeah. And magic.
Right. Yeah.
It's,
so
it's He-Man.
It's adjacent. It's Conan.
It's adjacent.
It's He-Man.
Yeah.
It's whatever man you want that does those three things.
Yep. Car chases and sword fights and magic powers and guys.
I can't believe he made you watch that. Like, that's not something...
I can't believe you stay to the end.
Like,
someone can turn it on, but you're just like, is it going to get better? Is it going to get better?
It was, you know what? At all points, it was, I had not a hot clue what was coming next.
Right.
So that was kind of entertaining. Is like, I was just like, what is happening in this movie? So I was entertained. Are you not entertained?
Movie quote. You know the remake's coming, right?
I think that's actually when I said it out loud, I think that's what made him think of it. Yeah.
You know that's coming too, with Henry Cavill's going to be in Highlander?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you very much. He finally got a job.
Man, did he ever get fucked? He got bent over the whole barrel. Yeah. Like, you lose Superman and you lose The Witcher all in the same month. Like, but then Amazon.
But you got Argyle. So
we got our. that's your grass is greener.
Well, for him it is. I can pay rent.
Well, I was gonna say that he, in his infinite nerddom, loves the game Warhammer.
Oh, okay.
40K or 42K or something.
Right.
Yeah, he's like a big. He plays it all the time.
He plays
right?
it all the time. Amazon was like, hey, we know you got a little. Got a little hurt over there over some big name IPs. Would you like to come and make a Warhammer series for Amazon? So he's EPing a new Warhammer series for Amazon, which will be like Lord of the Rings on steroids.
Wow.
Like the guys who play this buy like it's like $60 for like three characters.
Oh, and
you
got to
airbrush
sit
them.
There and paint them.
They paint them and then they show up at like people's tables that are like 20 by 20 tables okay. with like castles on them and then they roll like it's pieced out D&D kind of shit.
Okay. My cats could never.
Right. Yeah. no, like... they would just stomp through it. Right? Can you imagine a 22
monster
month,
attack?
Like a 22 month game and then the cats walk right through it.
Oh yeah.
Just do it like Lego the Movie and just glue everything down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, oh, okay, cool. So Highlander, how many big swords? big Jesus swords.
How many big Jesus swords? I'm going to say five.
Ooh.
Five inexplicable energy explosions out of 10. Yeah, five inexplicable lightning scenes out of 10.
Now you've seen it and you can scratch that.
I'm ready for the next one, honestly. Now I understand. I get where we're coming from and I'll watch the Henry Cavill one.
That's a stamp in someone's cult card.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right? Like if you wanted to show somebody your list of like I cult movie. Mm-hmm. Highlander, I feel, would be a definite.
Heathers and Highlander.
There you go.
Just stay the H's. H's.
I was going to say, those.
The H's.
One was meant for me and one was not. Yeah, and that's fine.
What I watched because it was his birthday. And one I watch every Sunday.
Exactly.
Cool. Okay, so I have a laundry list of shit that I've been watching because I haven't had anybody talk about it with. Because Sean is like, And I'm like, I know you're not listening. Okay, do you want Ghostbusters? Do you want Godzilla?
Did you see the new Ghostbusters? Oh, I want to know about that.
Yeah, I want to know about that. Okay, well, let me finish the list and then you can make your choices here. Next show. There we go. Okay. So I've got Thanksgiving, the Eli Roth horror movie. I've got Bad Grandpa that Shauna wanted to watch. Yeah. That's Zac Efron and Robert De Niro. I got Ricky Stenicki.
Oh Lord, you did not!
I loved Ricky Stenicki. Okay. That's with
Zac Efron
again. I went on a
Zac
Efron
binge.
Yeah, I wanted. I was comparing chins, what I was doing.
Seeing how it morphed over time.
I was watching for something.
Come on, he had a deviated septum or something.
Maybe he just fell into a plastic surgeon's office. Yeah, I mean, we don't know where the curve
it happens
was.
To the best of us,
right?
Mike.
Hey, I'm not saying I wouldn't want a better something. I'm just saying, let's be honest about what we're better.
I don't know if chin is the first thing we're augmenting on ourselves.
No. I mean, fair enough.
That's true.
Actually, I do know, and it wasn't.
Then I've got Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, and Godzilla.
I'll do two.
Ghostbusters.
Thanksgiving.
Okay. All right. Thanksgiving first. Jimmy told me to watch this, so I did. He didn't really like it, but I like Eli Roth.
Yes.
I like Green Inferno.
Yeah.
I like Hostel. Like I like gore porn. I'm not going to deny it. I'm a big fan of gore porn, and I just like how it shocks people. I don't really. It's not me getting one step closer to my Dahmer, but like you know, like
thank goodness everyone top calling the cops. We're fine.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
We'll get out of this basement
There's
alive
no
today.
No oil
probably.
Drums in this basement right now. But so I like those. I like those a lot because both of them feel like they could like Hostel.
Yeah,
getting trapped in some Eastern European country, but with Thanksgiving, I liked that. He was using some themes inside of a slasher.
Ooh.
I like that he was using greed.
Okay, yeah.
As part of, basically to set you up here, Thanksgiving is a small town. There is like a Walmart-esque chain store there, and it's Black Friday. And on that Black Friday, there's not enough security. Things go wrong. People are just being cheap. They want to make as much money as possible. This is a rich, affluent family from this town. And then the lesser people in the town, the commoners, work in the store. Anyways, a bunch of murders happen on that Black Friday. People get stomped. They're stabbing. Like things just go awry, right? Well, that spirit, if I'm not mistaken, Tony, essentially comes back in a form of a killer. And that there's a killer who then reenacts those killings the following year.
Oh, heck
it's the anniversary
that
of.
That sounds excellent.
It's a great slasher movie. There's some really good bloody sequences in it. It just kind of started to fall short about 12 minutes in when I went, I know who the killer is.
So did I.
That is my only.
I could tell. Yeah.
I was like, I will ride this out.
Yeah.
I will go the distance, but I know who it is. And I looked over at Shauna, and Shauna was like, me too.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, but like fun. Right.
Yeah.
And definitely in the veins of like the 80s slasher and the haunting image in behind.
Yeah.
But in a small first, it takes place like all the calamity takes place. That's a real fun scene. Like watching them like storm the doors and they're all going after fucking TVs. And then like one woman gets her hair caught in a
wheelchair.
It was in a wheelchair?
No, it's in a pushing cart.
Pushing cart, yeah. And then it like scalps her because someone just keeps pulling the cart further down. Like they do a real, and it's like it's happening all at once.
Yeah. That's crazy.
They're ingenious ways of killing the people, both in the death scene, at the store, and then later in the stalking scenes.
Yes, yeah.
My favorite, though, I'll have to say, not to give it away to anybody, is the garbage bin. Because I will say this, outside of Hostel, where there's not many light moment there.
No, once you're in, you're in.
Yeah.
There was a lot of levity in this one.
Oh,
which,
it felt like Krampus to me.
Correct.
And it could also go down as a new holiday film.
Correct.
Too. Like everyone focuses on the Christmas movie, the Christmas horror. He's like, I'm going to take a stab, literally, at like pilgrim horror and Thanksgiving horror and
the one holiday that we haven't tried killing you on.
Exactly. Yeah. Now you'll always remember it. So, I mean, I like a 5.5, 6
that
out of 10.
Super
out of 10.
Fun. I'm going to check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a 5. It was a good one to
5 Black Friday sales out of 10.
Correct.
5 super discounted television.
Yeah.
I love a good slasher.
Yeah.
I love them. So, horror, totally my jam. Love a good slasher.
Like, he just, you can trust him.
Yeah.
He, even if it's bad, it's still good because it's in the B movie genre with a budget, right? So you're in good hands, right? If you want to get scared, if you want to jump, eat some turkey and watch Thanksgiving.
Speaking of just B horror, that I just saw this. Did you guys see that they're making a new Leprechaun? Like they're remaking Leprechaun?
Are they bringing back Jennifer Aniston?
No, I don't.
Because that's
so,
what made that
would
that performance.
Be really cool.
That Oscar-winning performance.
Oh, my God.
No, but I just saw, I hope it was real, now that I'm saying it out loud. Maybe it was, I'm not emotionally prepared for April Fool's Day any year. Maybe it was an April Fool's trick.
No, that doesn't seem like an April Fool's trick because actually me and Jimmy talked about this a couple episodes ago, and I believe that it's in development. It's not like shooting, but they're trying to develop a new
Leprechaun.
Weren't
there like 5 Leprechaun movies?
I think there's 42.
Oh, there's lots. There's Leprechaun 2, there's Leprechaun 3 in space. There's Leprechaun 4 in the hood.
So,
and like Leprechaun 5 back to the hood, I think.
What more to this story can we glean? Like what has not been covered since he's already gone to space?
I'll tell you right now.
Okay.
Leprechaun, back to the gold, me hearties. We go back to Ireland. Where it all started.
Oh, would that be cool?
With Highlander.
With
Highlander.
Scotland.
It's a fucking genre blending crossover. Christopher Lambert and the new Leprechaun.
Imagine. And Sean Connery.
Right? Can you imagine the campaign in the theaters for
Sean
that?
Sean Connery in some kind of ethnically ambiguous role. Inappropriate role. Yeah.
He's still Spanish in this one.
You're going to be Latina. Can you do that, Sean? Yes, I can. One Latina only, please. Okay, and then you want a Ghostbusters.
Yes, right? Yes.
So Ghostbusters. Okay, so I said it about the first one. I'll say it about this one. It is the definition of a requel.
Ooh. Right, okay.
Now, you'd think that using the first Ghostbusters, the Holy Ghostbusters, the Never Cross the Streams Ghostbusters, movie quote. Fucking people.
we're on you. We're going to plot.
You're with me here, okay.
We're with you.
This man has no dick, sorry. had to. But when the trap is green. No, when the light is green, the trap
is clean.
And they do use that in the movie too.
Oh, nice.
So the first one, the one they did Afterlife, it's what they did with Force Awakens. Mm. Right? Where you don't step far outside of the story. So the same story happens all over again. It just happens with new people.
Yeah.
Okay. So there is the requel part of it, right? But the sequel aspect is it's new stuff.
Okay.
Right? So it's a new family.
Yes.
So there's your sequel stuff, but your requel stuff is we still have the old guys, right? We don't stray too far away from that. Star Wars, right? No matter what, we had to have Han and Leia back, but then we can get rid of them after because that we just need them to reboot.
We just needed to bridge the gap.
We got
to
get everybody back in the seats so that we can let them die, and then you can George R. R. Martin this shit.
And then Harrison Ford is like, I am done.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. You can kill me.
Kill me now.
Ben, do it now with my contract. No, but like, so that's what Frozen Empire is.
Okay.
Frozen Empire is 2. If you remember Ghostbusters 2.
Yes.
If you remember running through New York with ectoplasm and a bouncing toaster and all that stuff, that's this, But the sequel part is they chose to do it with an episode from the cartoon.
Oh.
So there's actually two episodes and strong moments from both episodes. So the cartoon episode of When the City Freezes is the premise of the movie. But then they also have it where they're bridging. Like, do you remember when that giant beam went into the sky in the first one?
Yeah.
Yep.
That beam is huge in this story.
Okay.
So it's a sequel, but with new characters again, right? So it's, you get your nostalgia bombs and it's fun, but you're just like, I've seen this before.
Yeah.
This, and this is, for me, I'm like, this is too familiar. But for anybody who just wants to take their kids and go have a good time and they've never seen it before, it's a great movie. So like, I had a hard time not being like, hey, I see what you're doing there. This is why you have my money versus like just enjoying a movie and having a good time. But like the ghosts are, there's a lot more ghosts in this one.
Okay.
There's ghosts. Like, do you remember when they first go to the library in the first one?
You were saying this.
Yeah, yeah.
And they, like, try to trap the librarian. Well, they didn't have traps when they did that. That was them being junior Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Well, you never see them trap her, do you?
Ooh.
So they have to go back to the same library in this one.
Do the same thing.
And she's still there?
And Ray's walking down the aisle, and he looks over, and she's like, shh. So it's stuff like that where you're like, okay, this is what I came for. Thank you for doing this. But it doesn't stray too far from that with a new story, right?
Do you think it added in any capacity to the Ghostbuster universe?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You'll get a third one.
Okay.
The whole thing's about McKenna, I think it's McKenna Grace. It's about her finding herself. There's a really cool storyline with her and a female ghost that she becomes friends with that
nice.
I don't want to really ruin. But all in all, like, if you go because you're a fan of the first one, you will be given everything you want.
Okay.
If you're going because you're young or this is something that you want to experience for the first time and you were living under a rock during the mid-80s, then you will enjoy a lot of it, right? But as for me, I was torn. I was between, like, the gatekeeper and the keymaster. Like, and we even have a firemaster in this one, played by Camille Nanjiani, right? Like, these things that you're familiar with are there. Slimer has wrinkles.
Like, they aged him again.
He's still living in the fire hall, man. Like, there's so many things that you never ask questions about.
Sure.
But you're like, oh, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Except that Ernie Hudson, Winston Zeddemore, somehow in the meantime took a Ghostbusters salary and flipped it into being a billionaire philanthropist like 15 fucking years later. He's got toys. He's got money. He's got swagger. And I have to say, for a man who's 78 years old, Ernie Hudson makes me hard. Like, it is, he is so fucking handsome.
The Dune boner, but like, no, it's
the nut buster. Right? It's the, I ain't afraid of this.
Oh, yeah.
But like, he is so, he's this like little charming light in throughout the movie. Like, I liked it every time he was on scene.
I can't wait to see it. I loved the original of this new one, whatever that was called.
Afterlife.
Yeah, I loved it. I've seen it like
so
three
do
times.
I.
And so I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm taking the kids to it. So there you go.
Did you like the one that had the all-female cast?
You know what? I did. I found it really funny. I think I wish that they had differentiated, like, a little bit more.
Mm.
Like, you know, like, done something. I kind of wish what they'd done with that is, like, taken the opportunity to make an entirely different story. More so than what they did.
Yeah.
But it was really funny, and I really enjoyed it. And, like, they're beginning to end. If it was standalone, I think I would have really enjoyed it more. I wanted them to do something more different with it.
It was really shrouded in all of the conversation that when the other guys didn't sign on, that a lot of people were like, okay, this won't be the Ghostbusters I want to see.
But it was still funny.
I thought Hemsworth
as like the himbo.
Yes,
he was so great. That was like my first real exposure to like the himbo character in a meaningful way, and I was like, I love this.
I loved seeing them all. Like, it was, it's fun. It's the universe I like. Like, it's Ghostbusters. I'm not going to be like, fuck this shit because it's girls. But it just, when the other, they just got a, it just had bad press.
Yeah,
just really had bad, shitty people reviewing the hell out of that thing. And yeah, then next
thing, it's because it's all like an all female movie. It's always, you're fighting an uphill battle, right? Like, the Marvels got the same shit on them, and that movie was hilarious. I loved the Marvels. It was such a good movie.
I don't understand how you can stand on that. Like, it just, like, everything that we review here, I don't think we really ever truly tear apart.
No.
Unless it's Anatomy of a Fall, which I fucking will shit on if I ever see a copy of it. But like,
I don't know. Do you remember when we talked about Moonfall? We tore that one apart.
Well,
I tore that one apart. But somehow still loved it.
That one just had a huge plot hole with the whole...
Physics in general.
They ignored a lot of rudimentary... And I'm not a physics person, but I'm like, I think you stepped on some things in this equation. And you're like, we don't need that. Then the next thing you know, everybody in the audience was like, we don't have physics degrees, but that makes no fucking sense.
Like, even I know that this is impossible.
But like, what I'm saying is even if we do shit on something, we don't get mean about it. Right. We don't like
you're not attacking it for who's in it per se.
The collaboration didn't work. Yeah. It's no more near the craft services person's fault as it is the director's fault. It's just an accumulation of shit didn't go the right way. You get one chance, you get one day, you get one place, and you try to make it work. But like really tearing apart the Marvels and Ghostbusters, any of that other stuff, I'm just like, why?
Morbius. We tore apart Morbius.
Everybody tore about Morbius. Tore apart Morbius.
Again, except for me. I liked it.
That's true.
I mean, everything.
I mean...
Highlander.
Did you really like it? Yeah, I did. Like I said, I was entertained.
Gave it a 5.
I was entertained. That's the lowest I've ever rated anything on this show, actually.
Ooh,
I know.
We'll have to go back through the archives.
I'm a big, like, I go 9s and 10s all the time. I'm like, it's just in case someone listens to this, I want them to know they did a good job.
5.5 Black Fridays out of 10 for Thanksgiving.
Yep.
And 7. Did I give it? I think I gave it 7.
How many ectoplasms are you giving?
I was going to say proton packs.
Better. Okay.
7 proton packs out of 10.
Okay.
That's still pretty solid.
Yeah. That's still solid, yeah.
7 sidecar proton pack shooting seats.
None of us have sold anything today. Like, none of us said this. No. Was so spectacular that we watched. So,
yeah.
We're all in the.
I'm trying to save those for like. When,
no, not us. We're not spectacular.
Well,
recommendation.
No, I mean,
people.
I'm always like, like Shauna's like, that's on your top 10. How big's your top 10? Your top 300? You know, like I don't have a true top 10 because I'm like, I like everything. So I'm like, I've actually been consciously trying to be like, no, how do I think of that?
Yeah.
Not just, I had a good fucking time.
Yeah.
You know, and then like, this will total the 10. Like, mm-hmm. I think about it as like the mechanics, the things that make it all one. But yeah, most days I love everything I watch.
Yeah, ooh, me too.
In some way. Like, there's no, why would I watch, if I don't like it?
I didn't
like
want to watch it, I'd turn it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, unless you walked into the theater, then you'd be either like, this is a movie, because I'm looking at you, Green Lantern. One of the only movies in my entire life that
You walked?
Oh, front row, was there on a date and was like, nope. Gotta and go. I love you, Ryan Reynolds, and left you worship.
You couldn't get down with the race car scene?
Could not get down with so much of it. I was like, you want my money back, kind of. This is horrible. And I, like, to your point, you're usually like, well, maybe it'll get better. Maybe it'll get better. And you put a lot of work into this, and this was one of the few films or even experiences of entertainment where I was like, nope, tapping out. I'm out.
Wow. Yep.
I didn't develop a taste or a set of balls to be able to do that until I was a lot older. Like, I sat through Guard as a kid, right?
I walked out of some buddy cop movie one time. I can't remember what it was. It was so bad.
Was it called Cop Out?
Maybe. I don't actually remember.
It was the only movie Kevin Smith fans do not talk about.
Was it Mall Cop?
Paul Blart. No, it was before that. I would have been like 13 or something.
Was it Serve and Protect?
RoboCop?
I'll look it up.
Turner and Hooch.
I'll try to think Turner.
K-9.
We're just now going through top 10 cop movies.
Well, while you look it up, there's your weekly review, listener. Go listen to Tony and Emily and myself and make your own opinions and then let us know about them. Let us know what you think. Let us know if you disagree or agree or you're completely indifferent and you've skipped this portion of the show and you're ready to talk about movie quotes. Which is that time, listener. Let's open the floor.
Floor is open.
There we go. We're open. So, as mentioned, I did this all on a whim. This is just, it really dawned on me after reading the article. Like, I said this to you, Tony. I said, with Aaron, me and him can get into a Forrest Gump role.
Yeah.
And be like, I love you, Jenny. And then he's like, we go get a lot of peas and carrots. And then I'm like, I'm sorry I ruined your Black Panther party. And it just goes and goes and goes. And I am my happiest in that moment.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what sparked this, like messaging Aaron and then seeing this article. And I was like, what are the most memorable movie quotes? What makes a memorable movie quote? What's a good movie quote? What's a bad movie quote? Right? Like, do we just not celebrate the bad ones? Like, because it's one of those things where there's no like bad movie quotes, right? There's bad movies, there's bad directors, there's bad cinematography, but there's no bad movie quote.
Right. It's just bad like writing. But so it's not a quote, because then it's like, well, you're not going to quote something that's just like bad writing.
But
right?
Some of the shit I'm about to quote is not good writing.
No, but it's quotable writing. And the movie True. Was Ride Along.
Oh, yeah.
With Kevin Hart.
I was going to.
Oh.
And Dwayne is
someone else.
Is a person bigger than Kevin Hart in it?
If I was in that movie, I would be. Let's see. It was Kevin Hart and Ice Cube.
Cube.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
That's like average 5, 7.5.
It has 17% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It did well. It did really well.
Not certified.
Well, it got
fresh.
My money and I left. So there you go.
So we got a list. We got two lists. We got someone's personal list of movies they made that are incredibly quotable. And then we've got a list made by Collider of the 10 most quotable screenplays, which we're going to review first. But before we get into it, we're just going to warm up here. We're going to stretch. We're going to talk. I don't know either of you when it comes to this. Like, okay. I'm still very new to Emily and I'm new to you. So it's not something that I have a shorthand with you. But, like, do you guys, are you, like, I mean, I know you said you were built for this, Emmy, but maybe we'll start with Tony. Like, is this something that you do on the regular? Is this something you and Marcel do? Is this something that, like,
quote movies?
Yeah. But, like, how do you, how does it work in your
weekend
life?
When we're just like, let's just play this game. no, I think, like, anyone, there are, memorable movies that, depending on your situation, it may trigger a happy moment, it might trigger a happy thought, it may trigger a bad moment or a bad thought, depending on what the movie was, and you just utilize it. I find with my friends, Simpsons quotes work their way a lot
I'll
more.
Be back when you're done talking about
That's
this.
Right. We have an ongoing joke about Mike because he wasn't allowed to watch The Simpsons.
The floor is yours.
So anytime we make Simpsons references and quotes, which is all the time, we're like, oh, but Mike won't get it. And like, Mike's mom, sorry, Mike's mom, because she wouldn't let him watch it. So.
Sorry, yeah.
Like,
so Simpsons quote. But now the irony is that Simpson is based on so much pop culture.
A lot of it is
coming from movies, and a lot of it is movie quotes. So
yeah.
I know the big moments, the ones that.
Sorry,
like I know
they're so amazing. It's the best,
and it's a vernacular of our age group
correct.
Too. Like
I know it is.
It really is a way that we communicate.
I don't speak Matt Groening,
so I you should get on that.
Yeah.
I think it's not too late. That's where it started for you was The Simpsons Show.
Yeah, like I mean, I think
a lot of people like I honestly think it shows more than it's movies, because if movies may not hit and they hit later, but if a show is con- like you know I'm the Fonz, hey, right, like you catchphrase.
There are a couple of movie quotes I'm sure everyone has that are in your back pocket. For me, like from The Help. You was kind, you was smart, you was important. There are moments even at work or in a meeting and I'm just like, oh, don't say this. Do not say this.
that's
what's running in my head, like the soundtrack.
I will TPS report you.
Yeah.
You know, many times, like when
Someone's
we're hanging out, I feel...
the Monday.
You complete
Just a
me.
Moment.
You complete me, yeah.
You.
I just feel that much. So yeah, there are moments those.
Wait, which you complete me are we talking about here?
Oh, from Jerry Maguire.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay. I was crossing over with I Just Can't Quit You from Brokeback Mountain.
No.
I don't know why those two got mixed up in my head.
Most romantic movies. Yeah. But no.
Yeah. One of them, yeah. Not going to comparison. No, yeah, You Complete Me is a huge one.
Yeah.
Right? Not only like metaphorically speaking, but like, I mean, that's what. I mean, I think I've said that to a woman before. Not Shauna. Like
non-ironically?
Not like
were you it's like trying to pick you up?
Yeah, like
then, and that's why you're not dating anymore?
Probably.
I'm just a man standing in front of a girl.
Hoping that she loves me.
I'm just a woman standing in front of a man asking him never to say that to me again.
Standing in front of this man wondering why his entire life has been movie quotes and he thinks he's new. Why does he think he's so original?
For both of you, you use movie quotes either just to be funny, or most times do they come up when you're trying to be like sassy or give like an off, like, you know, cut someone, but you know, you're like, I'm just going to make fun of you a little bit and I'm going to use this line to do it.
I feel like mine comes up because of just like a slight lack of filter. So someone will say something and it'll trigger a memory from a movie or show in my brain, and I will just that. It's like this series of events, right? They say that word or phrase, and then the response to that word or phrase is this movie quote, because for whatever reason, and it's like whether
that's what preempted the line in the movie.
Yeah, okay, that's what
so like, your brain
that's,
goes.
Yeah, your brain goes to that, makes the connection, and then when my brain does a thing, my mouth does it too. And so I think it's just as a it's
like
just
when,
a reflex.
When someone here's an example, right? When someone feels cramped, I'm like, itty bitty living space.
Yeah,
right.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Phenomenal cosmic powers. Itty bitty living space.
You know, yeah. You get what, you get what I'm saying, right? Yeah. Or fresh fish, like you know, right? You know though, you know by the yeah. intention in my voice that fresh fish is from the market in Aladdin.
Yeah,
right. You know that you catch it, we kill it, right? Like, you know, like
absolutely.
But like that shit.
Or like the other day, Dan was like, that just went right over your head, and I was like, nothing goes up from my head. My reflexes are too fast. I would catch it. Like, you know, like there was no need.
Why is Gamora?
Yeah, exactly. There was no need for me to say it. It's just that he said it, and like my brain automatic. Has that pathway.
But in a small way. Being sassy at him,
yeah.
right?
Well, and yeah, being trying yeah. to be funny.
Well, and I
yeah.
think it. I think it also like, it is a double speak. It's a yeah. shorthand, right? Like if it's one of those things where like, if you're in a room and a song comes on and a bunch of people start vibing,
correct,
and they all yeah. know why they're vibing together and they don't need to talk,
yes,
right? It's kind of like when someone in a crowd, you know, the inception of the show essentially is you're hanging around a party,
yeah.
and that one person starts to drop, you know, we're going to need a bigger boat. Right.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, where are you?
Yeah.
I heard you. Where are you? We need to speak. Right. And I think when you can be sassy with somebody and you can shoot a movie quote at yeah. them, right, you're not, you know, like.
And it's a good way into, with strangers too, like you were saying at a party, it's a good way into knowing if you have shared experiences.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so if I
shared
quote something.
Taste.
Yeah, exactly. Are you a man of taste? And so if I quote something.
And
if I
respond.
Do it in passing
yeah.
and someone kind of like goes, ah, you know,
yeah.
whatever that movie is.
But they've seen the same thing that you've seen.
Yeah.
They get the same thing you get.
And now we're on the same wavelength, right?
Exactly.
And I'm like, yeah. all right. You
or
know.
You have the same kind of humor,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
Where you drop a line out there and everyone looks at you and like, oh, this is awkward.
Never mind.
Walk into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, okay. You guys want a good one for that?
I
absolutely.
Do.
Okay. If you, just bring your mic up a little bit.
Still.
Yeah.
I apologize profusely.
That's okay. I can't fix fade out.
There you go.
Oh, there's the richness.
Perfect.
Like a warm glass of milk.
Maybe your mics should figure out how to keep it up.
Listen, are you telling me I need to get some erectile dysfunction medication for my boom arms?
Erectile mic function? Wait, I got to find it. There's a pun.
Welcome to the Blue Chew Rock Hard Moment of the Show, listener. This is where Blue Chew would sponsor us, by the way. We have one. We just never get sponsored. No, what I'm going to say is I was a kid. This is when a movie quote can get you in trouble.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
This is when you don't know what you're saying is something else.
I have an example of this,
great.
Too.
Okay. So food court, Kelowna Place Mall, when I'm like young. Wayne's World. Wayne's World had just come out.
Oh, no.
So we go up to the Asian food counter, sizzling wok.
Cream of Samyang, guy.
I'll get there.
Good Lord.
My mom orders. No. She goes, what would you like? And I go, wittingly, I'll have the cream of some young guy, please.
No.
And both the lady at the counter looked at my mother going, what kind of son do you have? And my mom looked at me being like, how did my son learn that? And I'm standing there being like, isn't that number two? Like, why are you looking at me like I? And that was the moment when I quoted Wayne's World that I also learned where the cream of some young guy comes from in the food court at Kildonan Place Mall.
Whoops.
They have yet to demolish that food court. It still exists. The table is still there. Whenever I walk in that mall and walk by that food
revisit
court.
Revisit your shame.
I revisit my shame every fucking time.
I love it.
But like, and that's the thing where like, I've seen the movie and you haven't.
Yeah.
Or I didn't know what was in the movie was wrong to say in real life. And then you go and blurt it out. And then the next thing you know, you think you're ordering takeout.
I was walking down the stairs. My mom said something to me, and this was like, and it was just something, and I wanted to acknowledge it. Yes, I'm going to do that. And I was in a kick of watching Space Jam at the time. And I go, aye, aye, Private Porkster.
And you're like, well, he was a pig, so that's why
that's
he said,
said
it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And she was like, fuck you say to me? And I was like, it's from a movie. She's like, oh my God, never say that to anybody else. She didn't say it. Fuck, she would have never said it. She still doesn't. But, you know, she was very upset with me. And I was like, oh, it's just from a movie. Like, it's what he says to the response to doing the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the magic of good writing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Combined with really talented people who know the intonation. Like you can you can really sit on a line. And I mean it. Frankly, my dear, I just
don't give a damn.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like how many memes? How many moments does that line like come up? And if you just said that any other way, right? Like the line is the line, but it's the delivery of who's giving it to you frankly, my dear, I just don't give a damn.
Yeah.
Frankly, my dear, like you could be Captain Kirk. I just don't give a damn.
Give up.
Right. But frankly, my dear, I just don't give a damn. Like it's knowing. And I mean, is that why? Is it the actor or is it the writing? Is it the chicken or the egg theory? What do you think?
I think it's a magic combination.
Correct.
Yeah. It's like, the perfect and like the buildup and everything around it that just makes that line for whatever reason stick in your head as something that you'll bring up over and over again in your life. I don't know. Yeah.
And combo. It can be as simple as I'm Batman.
Really?
It can be. Michael Keaton has been trading on I'm Batman.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Bale's tried it, Affleck's tried it. Clooney never should have tried it. Kilmer also should have never been Clooney in trying it. But like Michael Keaton is the reason I'm Batman.
Is
why I say I'm Batman. I say it like that because that's it. What's your favorite, Emily?
You know, there's two and they're so wildly different. Like two movies that I probably quote more than any other movie. And one is Lion King.
Which one?
There are so many Lion King quotes that you can do. But like if someone's trying to do something, I say it to my kids all the time. Like they're in the middle trying to do something and they're just like fucking it up so bad. And I'm like, amateurs, lie down before you hurt yourself. Or just like you got to, or something bothers them at school or whatever. I'm like, you got to put your behind in the past.
I mean, your past in your behind.
Yeah, exactly.
A wonderful phrase.
And then when it's like, you know, something is, you're confused and everyone's like going back and forth. I'm like, what? And it's like, who's got a scar? The monkey's his uncle? That's like how I always end those conversations. Cause it's like the who's on first, whatever. But it's
exactly who's on first.
Yeah, the monkey's his uncle. Yeah. That's like universal speak in my family for like, this conversation is over because no one knows what they're talking about. And then the other
And that's
side,
what I can't do. I can't do that. I can't take it off the screen. And like, I can do a little play with you.
Right.
Yeah.
I can riff with you.
Oh, no. We just work it into regular
I'm always
conversation.
I'm the way homer. I'm the guy who's like driving home after the party and I'm like, fuck, I should have said that. Right? On the way home, it clicks in. Like, I'm never really quick enough. I do sayings like, fill your boots, right? Like, I'll say stuff like that. Or
I think movie quotes for my brain anyway, I equate them to like song lyrics.
Oh.
And so I hear them in the way that they were delivered, right? So like someone says a song lyric and then you start singing the song in your head. It's the same way someone says a word in just the right way. And it sets off the chain in my brain of like the whatever that like is, whether it's the intonation or the word or whatever.
Hakuna Matata.
Exactly. What a wonderful phrase. And so it lives in my head. Rent free, as the millennials like to say.
A lot of real estate up there.
But are you quoting more times famous quotes or are you quoting more times
your quotes.
Lines that meant something to you from that meeting?
I think it's more me.
Like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are two different things.
Yeah,
right?
It totally is. It's in the ether and then it's what's in Emily's.
It's what's in my brain. And so lots of times people don't.
But what's in your brain
them.
Works, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. And but lots of the time people don't pick up on them, which is totally fine, too, because I think if people did pick up on them every time, nobody would talk to me. They'd be like, just be a normal human and have regular person conversations.
They call you IMDb.
Yeah. But I do it all the time. But then, okay, so the other side of that spectrum for me, the other most quoted movie in my life is Spinal Tap.
Really?
Yeah.
Hello, Cleveland.
I just can't help myself. Like, there'll be, like, someone will be playing the piano and it'll be, like, a really beautiful song or whatever. And I'll walk by and I'll be like, that's beautiful. What is it? And I'll be like, I call that Lick My Love Pump. Like, it's just, you can't, every time I hear a beautiful piano song.
Okay, maybe I do this in my real life because I have been known to be like, can you turn it up to 11?
Turn it up to 11.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, and then, but this one goes to 11.
Just as close to, like, right on the heels of Spinal Tap is The Big Lebowski. And then, like, just anytime, I'm like, you're out of your element, Donnie. Like, just all the time.
Look behind you.
Market zero, dude.
What does it say on the wall? That's my yeah, rug, man.
Exactly. This really ties, really ties the room together. I say it all the time. Yeah, something that really ties the room together.
And that kind of thing is what makes it great.
Yeah.
Right? It made it in that moment. Did they cut that line? Did they leave that line in? Was it added? Was it ad-libbed?
Like, yeah.
There's so much around those few words that where's my money, Lebowski, is what everybody says when they want to get paid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And if you're cool like us, you know what we mean.
Or people say, like, what's your name? And I'm like, Emily, you can call me Em, or like Emily Clark if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
I would just end it with the dude.
Or anytime an Eagles song comes on, I hate the fucking Eagles. Like, it's actually, Big Lebowski might actually be the top one.
It seems to be moving up
here. I forgot about all the things I say in my...
No one fucks with the Jesus.
Exactly. It's like, in my whole life, I say them a lot. Yeah, we were bowling the other day with the kids, and Lily stepped over the line. It's like, market zero, dude.
And see, that's the thing. I'll tell you right now, I'll be honest with you. Sitting here, when you say a movie,
yeah,
I go, quote roll.
Yeah.
I start going there, right?
Exactly.
But if you were like, give me a movie quote, I'd be like, this must be what it feels like when someone asks a comedian to say something funny.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Remember a movie quote. What one do you want in my head?
I know. But that's because you make the connections.
Same right? Yeah. Most of mine, I'm not quoting from like the big long list of the quotes that stand out the most, right? I'm quoting the ones that meant something to me,
yes.
Right? Like,
yeah.
So for me, hands bar none, fuck me sideways with a chainsaw. I use that in almost everyday life. It's from Heather's.
Yes, yeah.
Right? Now, is that part of, you know, the top 100 quotes? Nope. You know, stop making fetch something. That apparently is more nuanced with a certain age. Great.
Because I invented a fucking word. Yours is sass, class, and sharp, right?
But so for me, there are, like, to yourself, there are just some quotes that just stood out.
Yep.
Don't know why. Caught my brain. Was in the movie that just, you know, now will become part of my own, like, lexicon with my friends and all that. And that's great. Because when I went through this list in preparation and just going through, yeah, these are ones that stood out per se. But then again, these are the movies that are in the top 100. So
yeah.
Therefore, their dialogue has meant something in predominantly with that generation. Or
this is your deep cut, essentially.
Yeah, I'm going to deep cut it.
Yeah.
No, I get...
Absolutely.
We did the Adam Sandler episode.
Yeah.
I'm surprised this didn't happen more. But like, whenever something breaks, I'm like, they were cones. Right?
Yep.
And even if the person, like, 7 out of 10 doctors won't recognize what I'm saying as like something that makes sense, right? But the other 3 people will be like, those could have been people at her wedding.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes. I love when that happens.
Now, for me, I find the least quotable movies, although I love them, horror.
Like, yeah.
Least quotable.
Least quotable movies. I don't know why. There's very few quotes that I can ever just pull out of my brain cell from a horror genre, well, right?
The call is coming from inside that.
Yes. Just a few, right?
Want to play a game?
But you're right. There's not as many. I think probably because the focus in those movies is on the...
insides of a human being.
Yeah, or inside your brain as opposed to like outside inside of you. The blood that came out.
I don't care what you say. I just want to stab you. Like, Leatherface isn't known for being a, you know, a vocal actor.
Yeah,
right?
Fair enough.
Freddie had his one-liners, but like nothing...
Exactly.
That's so true. You know, yeah.
And Jason... didn't say much.
Like, my
either.
Favorite horror movies, the ones that are like the most viscerally scary, I probably couldn't tell you a single quote from any of them.
No, I mean, you have The Shining and
Here's but, Johnny.
Right,
yeah.
So there's, but I'm thinking that's more because the actor themselves propelled that kind
of
moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not necessarily because the writing in horror over time is.
You raise a great point because if you watch the pre work that Nicholson does to get warmed up for Here's Johnny, he's running around the room. He's getting out of breath. Like he is finding why that line is going to work.
Correct.
Probably doesn't know that it's going to be the line.
Yeah.
From the entire, like, out of all, and I mean, there's not that many quotable lines in The Shining, but like in the lexicon of film, Here's Johnny is
all work and no play
makes Jack a dull
boy.
Look right there.
Yeah, absolutely. But I would say that actually The Shining might be a bit of an exception because it's internal. Like, he's going crazy from the inside.
He's having a conversation.
And the book is so stream of consciousness that like you're in his head and you feel him slowly going crazy. And they do a reasonably good job of that in the movie, I think. So that's probably why it's so quotable, because he's got like his internal craziness is like coming out a little bit.
I also love I'm Ron Burgundy. Don't put a question mark in the teleprompter. I tell you, he reads everything. You know, or like Shake and Bake from Talladega Nights. Like anything in
Don't
the...
Don't put that juju on me, Ricky Bobby. I love that movie.
Oh, shit. No, but anything like the Farley Brothers, yeah. SNL adjacent, right?
Yeah.
Like Disco Pants and Haircuts. Look, the new Dodges are in this year from Blues Brothers. Like, it's what are you? Five chickens and some bread dry. Oh, is that Jake Elwood? You know?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Airplane. That's got to be one of the most quotable movies of all time, right? Yeah. What's your vector, Victor? Like, I have a drinking problem. Oh, and don't call me Shirley.
Naked Gun 2.
Yeah.
Right? Like you've not just 2, but like 33 and
as
3rd.
As well.
Yeah. But yeah, the I think there was a time where they were almost like, you know how you need a toy out of a movie?
Yes.
They need a line.
Yeah.
Right? You need that hit song. You need that like, and like that moment would be it. But they know inside that line when they step on it and hit it and it hit it and they hit it right. It works.
Yes. I jump, you jump.
Oh, yeah.
Which,
someone tried to convince me today that Titanic was not a good movie, and I was like, get
touch
out.
Of the hand.
Yeah, I'm like, delete, just leave.
So, as mentioned, we have a list. Okay. I think we're all well and proper here. I disagree with a ton of shit on this list, but
so do I.
As always, I did absolutely no preparation for this episode, so I'm ready.
So number 10 on the list is, and I don't know why, because I don't quote this movie.
Correct.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Great movie, but I can't think of any quotes from it.
This is what I was, yeah.
Yeah. Don't cry in front of the Mexicans. I don't even remember what.
I don't know when I would use that.
Or what that quote came from. Like, from the movie, so.
I'm trying to remember lines in this movie. No. I know scenes, like when he recalls why he got fired from being a stunt double that day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
when he smokes the cigarette with the lace with acid, that was really,
like,
you know,
right.
Like,
but like DiCaprio doesn't say anything that like sings out at you. But the scene where he's yelling at himself in the trailer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's like, you fucking idiot, you fucking idiot. It's all good acting. But like, there is not a single quotable thing in here. Somebody is sucking QD's dick.
Correct.
Yeah.
Like somebody is was owed a favor.
Yeah. I have no idea how this got to be number 10.
Can we quote it?
No.
Like, I can't. I've seen it 3 or 4 times and I can't quote. I couldn't quote a single thing from it.
No.
It was great. I really enjoyed it. It was a great movie.
Cliff has some great lines, but. Yeah, no.
Shrek.
Shrek, I can see.
Number 9.
I like that boulder. That is nice. Oh, you're
that's
like,
not very
oh,
nice.
It's like,
just a donkey.
Parfaits. Talk about have a parfait, and they're like, hell no, I don't like no parfaits. Yeah. That's good.
I'm
that
making
good.
Waffles.
Exactly.
See?
Yeah. Yes.
That answers your question right there.
Yes.
We just spoke to each other.
Correct.
Using nothing
some
but their
of you
lines.
May die, but that is a sacrifice I'm willing to make. Yeah, like this is, yeah, this is a good one.
Ogres are like onions. They have layers.
Like, leave them out in the sun too long, they start sprouting little white hairs.
But like, that's what happens when Mike Myers writes a script.
Yeah.
Correct.
And Eddie Murphy has just, like, I can, now that we're talking Eddie Murphy, I can think of like 1,000 Eddie Murphy quotes off the top of my head. Like, he's so funny. Like,
are we quoting Delirious? Are we quoting
like, I was
Raw?
Thinking,
are we
I was
quoting...
thinking Mushu from Mulan. It's like, dishonor! Dishonor on your whole family! Make a note of this. Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Hey, that ain't no banana in the tailpipe.
Yeah, I'm not saying there's no banana in the tailpipe. Or like, make sure we get the right drinks, because if I drink that, I'm going to puke. Like, Beverly Hills Cop is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Shrek passes the sniff test.
Yeah.
Yes.
The quote test. All right.
More from Shrek 1, less from the preceding ones after that, per se.
I agree.
But more from Shrek 1.
It gets all, and then we get Dragon.
Correct.
And Dragon kind of mixes things up, and we get into the Deep Fiona family. Like, but the first one is
correct.
Full of golden hits all day long.
Yeah.
All right. The Lord of the Rings.
One does not simply walk into Mordor.
You shall not pass.
What about second breakfast? Yeah.
We are
taters? What's taters? That's just potatoes. Bash them, boil, mash them, boil them, put them in a stew. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
I can't, like, I mean, Tolkien writing alone is prophetic. It needs to be, it's like, if you didn't know it was The Hobbit, you'd be using this in like a soliloquy or like a,
sure.
like reading someone's funeral, you'd use some of these lines because they're so fun. And that's the difference. They're not funny as much as they
they're
are epic.
Fun. And fun to read. Although right. If someone did say, mash them, boil them, put them in a stew at my funeral. I would be all right with that. That's totally.
Like, what do we do with Emily now that she's gone? Do we
mash and boil her and put her in a stew?
Put her in a stew. Yeah.
Do we put her in a stew? Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say it's incredibly quotable, but I would say that there's some hits.
There's some hits. I wouldn't say it's in top 10 either.
Yeah.
Right?
No,
like,
I'm
like, I was a little, like, if like, and I love the whole trilogy just got thrown in there. You're going to find.
Like all, yeah. Yeah. All, there's 24 hours of movies here.
Exactly.
You'll find some quotes.
Yeah. No, I could think of Adam Sandler movies just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Happy Gilmore.
Correct.
Jackass can go up there a lot quicker. What do we got here? Number 7, Mean,
Mean
Girls.
Stop trying to make catch happen. Yeah.
I have a wide set vagina and a heavy flow.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, maybe not that question. We'll talk about that. Put that on the sideline.
Yeah. This is a purely epic movie. And
yes.
I just, as a side note, things we watched this week. My kid and her best friend made me watch Mean Girls 2. Not the remake of Mean Girls.
Okay.
Mean Girls 2, which I didn't know was a thing, came out in like 2011
Isn't
or something
one
like
of
that.
Them in it too?
No, none of them are in it, and it is the worst movie I've ever seen. That if I had been in a theater for that, I would have walked out.
All right, why are these plastics so bad?
No, they're they're not even bad. It's just stupid. The movie is so terrible. Like the plot makes no sense. Something about NASCAR or I don't know.
The line "That's so fetch" is I'm sure it's tattooed on somebody.
Oh yeah. Trying to make fetch happen.
Right.
On Wednesdays we wear pink.
On Wednesdays we wear pink.
Yeah.
So
get in, loser. We're going shopping. Right.
Keep going, Emily.
You're pretty.
Keep
going.
Yeah,
exactly. There's so you do.
Do
think
you think you're pretty?
So you do. That's so, I even got scared of Gretchen. I was just like,
not for Gretchen, Regina George.
Sorry, Regina, my bad.
Yeah.
But like when she asks that question, you're like, I thought I was.
Yeah. I'm 40% sure it's almost raining.
Yeah. That's like, you guys can tell the weather. Yeah, I'm not a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. I use that one all the time. So.
Oh, yes. Okay, it wins. The Room?
This movie is so fucking
weird. Oh, hi, Mark.
So talk about the punch card for your cult classics. I've watched this movie once, and it was for the punch card.
I've watched the movie, the actual movie. I've watched The Room, the remake.
Yep.
I don't know which one's trying to be more meta. But, like, Wazzo is only quotable because he's an idiot trying to act. These are not lines that, like, oh, hi, Mark. How, like unless you're being funny.
Yeah.
And your friend's name is Mark, like ours is, and he walked in the room. That plays once. That's done. That's not reusable, right?
I feel Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure has more heft.
Bill and Ted's
than the Room and stuff like that.
I completely agree.
So, like, yeah. I don't know, once again, how this is top 10 quotable.
Yeah.
There is one word in a quote in Bill and Ted, and it's Rufus.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Yeah, be excellent to each other.
Right? Yeah. Station. Right? All of those are just one word.
Yes.
Something mysterious is afoot at the Circle K. Yeah.
Talk about, that's what I say when things aren't going to plan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something strange is afoot at the Circle K. And then they're like, what's a Circle K? And I'm like, we don't share the same cinema.
Yeah, exactly.
It's okay. You don't know. No, the Room has to go.
So Crates. I've never called soccer.
So Crates. Ziggy Piggy. Yeah. Borat, Cultural Learnings of American for Make Benefit Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan. Hell yes.
Really?
So many people quote this movie.
My wife, her sleeve. Like wizard, long vagina, like wizard sleeve.
Yeah, so many people.
I like
top 5.
This is like, I'm gonna go ahead and say this is a millennial. This is a millennial white guy movie quote.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yeah, a straight millennial white guy movie quote. This one and Anchorman. Those are like the two. Like their entire.
No, I will say Step Brothers outdoes Anchorman.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, did we just learn kung fu?
There's been many men I've met in my life that this is their whole personality.
60% of the time, it works every time.
It works every time.
When you make that statement, I'm okay with that. The Sex Panther does outweigh. My wife, she dead. High five.
Yeah.
You know, but like, say, and see, okay, here's a question. Saying it like that, because that's how it's said, because it's a character,
right,
is not as funny as my wife, she dead. High five.
Yeah, exactly.
True. Without saying the worst words, the list of words we all know we shouldn't say, shit, piss, funk, cuck, cocks like a motherfucker, tits for a turd and twat. Sorry. That's the list. Right?
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Thank you, Richard Carlin.
Exactly.
That's a quote.
Yes.
That's a quote from his stand-up. but, like, you know, I think it's always okay to do the quote unless it's really A, offensive to the language, or B, to the cultural misgivings, bad names, all that stuff. You gotta change it. You gotta leave it out. I'm sorry, you can't. Like,
I
can't quote. No, nobody should be able to quote Training Day unless you're black, is what I'm saying, right? Like, that's the point I'm saying.
That's the line.
Things you just don't say. I have a hard time now with Sacha Baron Cohen, knowing all the things that I know now that have come out about him. Yeah. And Isla Fisher's divorcing him.
It's a bad week for Sacha Baron. Like, Rebel Wilson named him as the asshole on set.
Yeah.
And now Elsa Fisher's divorcing him.
I feel he's in his Kevin Spacey era. We'll see how
I've never gotten good vibes from him.
From Kevin Spacey?
No. No, why? What did he do wrong?
Although in some very quotable movies.
Yeah, that is very true.
You know what? I will agree that it's quotable, but I do agree with you, Tony. It shouldn't be on the list.
Yeah. I can't remember if another movie is going to come up.
The Wolf of Wall Street. Got to pump those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers. Because that's what I say every time one of my friends is jerking off.
I really like this movie.
Tootski? Yes.
But I'm not sure that I have
ever
quoted it.
Is there a plethora of quotes coming out of it?
So. I don't think there is. I think there's good quotes, but there's not. Yeah.
I refer to it often. Like,
It was the sides. Yeah. It was the sides.
We talk about, like, you know, roofies or whatever, quaaludes. That's
quaaludes,
it. Like, just like, careful, like Leonardo DiCaprio, your way out of that car or something like that, right? Like, but not.
Scenario, like, yeah, I can see that.
We'll
yeah.
refer to it, but I don't think quoting it is.
Yeah, no, I agree too. Like, okay.
I still love
Step Brothers, Anchorman. Billy Madison, like, I know these are all comedies, and comedies are usually the ones, like, I'm not sitting here quoting Any Given Sunday to you, right? But, like, and I think that's, even We're Gonna Need a Bigger Boat is funny because it's the first time you see Jaws up close.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, shit, we are gonna need a bigger boat. Right?
Yeah.
But, no, I don't think Wolf of Wall Street's got
a plethora.
No.
Like, such a good movie, though.
The dialogue is great, but that's all there is to it. So, sorry, no quotes for you. The Dark.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some men just want to watch the world burn. Super great quote. Want to see me do a magic trick.
Yeah.
I got to make this pencil disappear. I'm Batman.
Once again, you have a standout stellar performance.
Yes.
That's selling, right?
That's right, because no one's quoting Christian Bale from this movie. They're all quoting Heath Ledger.
Correct.
Yeah.
Outside of, I'm Batman.
I want to know how I got these scars.
Exactly. Correct. The number of men, again, and like this is another white guy thing. The number of white guy in my life experience who have been like, "Oh, yeah, let me tell you, let me do the Joker like thing for you."
How
I'm
many
like,
guys
oh, pass
want it, like monologue this for acting? I wonder. The year after this came
they
out,
they monologue it just in life when they're trying to impress a woman, and it's not impressive. Guys, don't do that.
You hear that, guys?
Don't do it. And I'm the nerd, the nerdiest of the nerds.
See, we're coming up now to number one almost.
We are, and Star Wars has just hit.
Like, right. And it's Revenge of the Sith of all the Star Wars movies. I guess I Have the High Ground is super quotable.
It is.
But, it's over, Anakin. I Have the High Ground.
But you first.
I thought it smelled bad on the outside. Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Put him inside of a tom-tom. Yeah. Right?
Your tauntaun will freeze before you reach the second marker. I'll see you in hell.
Never tell me the odds.
Never tell me the odds. I don't know. Fly casual.
There are do or do not. There is no try. Like,
exactly.
Fucking. Why are you like? Don't get me wrong. Revenge of the Sith. Badass. Right. Not as good as Phantom Menace.
Sure.
Not as good as the reveal of the dual saber the first time. But like watching Anakin become Anakin.
Correct.
Great. You were the chosen one. Like that's about all I can think of from this. Like we're not quoting Darth Dooku. We're not quoting Darth Sidious. Fucking, like, no!
R2-D2 has more quotes than this movie.
He famously said, bleep, bloop, 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 bloop.
He does.
Bloop.
Like, it's maybe in the lexicon of epic Star Wars lines, sure, but not in what the ethers.
And what I find funny is in the Lord of the Rings, they put all the movies
all of
up
them.
There.
Yeah.
Right? We only got one
of this.
One of 12.
And like,
from 5 days ago too. Remember, one of 12.
Yeah, like the only thing I can think of is like that the High Ground quote has really made its way into popular culture and like memes and GIFs and stuff.
And
like
if Collider wants to consider itself a pop culture.
I am
your father.
Yeah,
which
I mean, that's
not the original.
You'll never find a town full of more scum and villainy.
Yeah, that's
carry
right.
on, carry on.
Yeah, these aren't the
these
droids,
aren't
you're,
the
looking
droids
for.
You're looking for.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like even just the hand motion could be quoted, right? Like, Yeah. I mean, sidebar. How many of us walk to an automated door and still do this?
Yeah. I do it like Matilda more often than not. I go.
Yeah, no, I do the full like, yeah.
Wax on, wax off.
Yeah. Sure, yeah. There you go. There's another one.
Another one. Yeah. Right? Paint the fence.
Yep.
Like, no, I think Star Wars, I think if we're going to do Star Wars, it should have the same.
Star Wars deserves to be on here. Revenge of the Sith, that is very questionable. Number one.
Number one is.
I knew it. And white guys' entire personalities.
And before we talk
it's
about
like
this.
Emily saw this coming.
Two movies, which I was so surprised was not on this.
Which ones?
One, Forrest Gump, which has a bucket list of quotes. And everyone's
wherever I
popular.
Was going, I was rotting.
Exactly.
Laughs like a box of chocolates. These are
the quintessential quotes.
Like fried shrimp, butterfly shrimp.
Shrimp sandwich.
Sandwich, yeah.
Shrimp kebab. Shrimp toufee. Mm-hmm.
And then the second movie, which I was surprised by the time we got to this, Princess Bride, which has the
yes!
next bucket of quotes.
That's true. Princess Bride is so
We're going to get to the big list next year just to close off the show and throw on some of those that we've seen on this list. Because this guy's list is stellar. Like, it's not a list that should be torn apart. But you're right. Like, the... As you wish.
Yeah. Marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today. Yeah, 100%.
He's only mostly dead.
Bye, boys. Have fun storming the castle.
My name is Diego Montoya.
You killed my father.
Prepare to die.
Anybody want a peanut?
Anybody want a peanut?
I mean it. Anybody want a peanut?
Although I do wonder if Sean Connery had done that line. How would that have been?
Yeah. Or you keep on saying that word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
No, I mean, Anchorman is in the lexicon of quotable movies.
I will say.
But I think it's got a bad rep.
Once again, white men. You have killed Anchorman for me. I don't want anything to do with this movie anymore. That if I like, I maybe it's just like the kind of people that I was hanging out with when this movie came out. But like, if I never hear another Anchorman quote again, it'll be too soon.
This is such a bad picture of Paul Rudd too. I think it's the worst picture of Paul Rudd in the history of pictures of Paul Rudd.
Yeah,
but still has not aged.
No, still handsome. But yeah, bad picture.
He's as old as he as what's his face, Wilford.
Wilfrid Laurier?
Sir Wilfrid Laurier.
Not Sir Wilfrid's movie quote.
When he posed for the $5 bill.
No, what's his face from Cocoon or Awakenings?
Oh, Wilf. Oh, my God. He was on the, for those of you who remember this, he used to do Quaker Oaks ads.
Yes, he used to. Wilfred something.
Wilfred Brimley.
Wilfred Brimley.
Oh.
Paul Rudd is as old as Wilfred Brimley was in Cocoon.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, they're, like both in their 50s. I am okay with it because it is well known, but I agree with you, Emily. It has been ruined for me too because I think that is low hanging. I'm not saying I got to watch what I'm saying because I don't want to offend somebody who's like this is their movie, but like
I already did. It's fine.
Okay, but like so you've got like the ones that. Are great to quote or easy to quote or whatever. This one has been quoted to death.
Yeah.
This one has been beaten to death. This is like, say hello to my little friend, right? Like it's the Scarface shit that like,
which is actually not their line.
It's not exactly right. Like so with this 60% of the time it works every time.
And, yeah, I love lamp.
Right. Brick. Did you just stab that person with a trident?
We're going for something called a yog.
Loud noises.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Like, all right. It's got some funny bits.
It does. Sure. But they're overdone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So culturally, yes. Historically, yes. But taste wise, I don't agree. So here's this is Matt's movie watching.
There
world.
It is, The Princess Bride. Nice.
This list was
right at the top
in 2014.
Yeah.
So this is the early days of.
I just
of
little fun
tracking.
Fact: when my mom retired, I threw her a retirement party at the Park Theater. I rented out the whole thing. We screened The Princess Bride, and I made little like so. When you came in, you could pick a crown or a six fingered hand or a mustache and. I can't remember. Oh, or like a Dread Pirate Roberts mask, and I put them on sticks. And so, like every time that someone came on
That's
the screen,
awesome.
You like held up your stick to like match. Yeah, and that was
awesome.
Really, that was really fun.
That's the kind of party I want to go to. But The Princess Bride, 100% deserves.
Yes.
Like that should
Bill
take
and
out
Ted's Excellent Adventure, 100%.
Send.
Ferris Bueller. Bueller.
That should be on there.
Oh my God! Yeah,
I recommend
Absolutely.
It. It's so niche. Or so chic.
So chic.
Forrest Gump, there she
yeah,
be.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah,
I mean,
perfect.
And like, Gump, as much Forrest as I Gump. Get upset about the adaptation of it being stolen from the writer who had the book originally,
okay.
And there, but like, he wrote some good shit because a lot of that stuff is the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Wait, but The Curse of the Black Pearl. Oh, that's the original.
That's okay. The original.
Yes, that one is.
Well, I'm Jack Sparrow.
This one is excellent. They do
but
have some
you
really
have heard
fun.
Of me.
He's like, clearly you've never been to Singapore. there's just some very yeah, there's some big ones. Back to the Future,
right? Like, we didn't mention it.
Mere density.
But where we're going today, we didn't need roads, right? Like, it's
yes.
You know,
that's like, true.
Very good.
We got there with Emily's brain and the two of us. Like, Back
very
to
true.
The Future is Marty. Like, it just.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hello, McFly. Hello. Jurassic Park. That's one big pile of shit.
Yeah, Life Finds a Way. Yeah.
What else is there?
I actually don't know. Those are,
well, this is it. I don't know if it's top 10 yeah. Jurassic Park, but
I do say Life Finds a Way a lot.
Sure.
So maybe one quote. Maybe?
Yeah. Fair enough.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I'm not sure I quote Charlie
and the Chocolate
Factory.
There's people that are
going
to be yelling at us right now. Like, how do you not know how to quote that? Well, that's because it's not in our lexicon. Like
Finding
that.
Nemo.
Finding Nemo.
That's a great one.
Fish are friends, not food.
Yeah. I also go, I do the little crab all the time. Like I go, suivez-moi. Follow me. Yeah. That one.
Although I don't know if that would be one of the top quotable cartoons.
Out of everything.
We came up with like 1,000 more from Shrek. Yeah.
I get what he's saying. I mean, like,
just keep swimming.
Just keep swimming.
Yeah.
Right? I live in an anemone. I'm an anemone. Slow down.
You know what? My sister, one time messaged me. She messaged me, scuppy. And then I messaged her, and I was like, I'm sorry, you'll have to come back later. We're trying to escape. And so, we do go, back and forth in there. Yeah.
Scuppy. Wallaby.
Oh, Napoleon Dynamite.
Llama. You remember Llama when he's trying to feed Llama
just
out of the...
eat your dang quesadilla. Yeah.
It's a liger.
It's quotable.
Yeah.
But I think it's very niche.
Well, correct. Didn't they have there was a quote with nunchucks. It's like, go use my nunchucks
I've been surfing on that all day.
Yeah. So just take that thing on for
Kip
some
Kip was more
breaks.
Funny than Napoleon, I think.
Yeah.
The Sandlot.
Shrek is at
Shrek's
least...
on there, yeah.
Yeah. Shrek's
perfect
on
there.
Matt's list.
The Emperor's New Groove. That movie is very funny, but I'm not sure I can quote anything from. Oh,
wrong leather.
What is it when he's like squeak squeakin'er squeak squeakin'? Have you seen my acorn?
From Emperor's
squeak,
New Groove.
Squeak squeaker squeakin'. That's
not,
acorn.
It's new Disney for me, so I'm not as well versed. Yeah. Like
once again, I think you have to really be a Disney fan to have pulled that obscure cartoon.
You do.
Yeah,
out of say and like Toy Story.
But then he moves. But then he goes to Wizard of Oz, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're like, there's
Kansas
no place
anymore.
Like home,
sure.
Right? And we're not in Kansas anymore. So, and he's got Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Oh, hell yes.
Right?
Perfect.
The Knights Who Say Knee, your mother was a hamster and your father smelled of elderberries. Yeah. Fishy Lavash.
Oh, Hitchhiker's Guide to the
Galaxy.
Yes.
The life, the universe, and everything in it.
Yep.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, of course.
Aladdin, you are.
Okay, there you go.
You did Aladdin.
Got it.
But I wonder if Aladdin and Lion King are particularly quotable for us just because we were kids when it
came
out.
He's got
a
ton. I don't think he's updated this in a while because Alice in Wonderland, Lilo and Stitch. Oh, yeah. I feel that he's getting into the weeds here with some of this stuff.
Ohana
Spider-Man, not really that
quotable.
The Lion King is like my number
super
one.
Super quotable. Mulan.
Mulan, I already quoted.
Kind of.
Okay, yeah. Bug's Life. That's a lot in life. It's not a lot, but it's a
life.
That's a good one. Mary Poppins is super quotable.
Harry Potter for only those who read the books. I mean, you're not getting into stuff that gets into the speak of movie quote language. You're getting into movies that are popular that may have one or two good lines.
Yeah, because it's interesting. Not one...
King Kong? Who quotes King Kong by Peter Jackson?
Most of the movies here are more modern, right? Outside of The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah,
you really don't have a plethora of the more quotable ones.
The classics.
From the classic movies, which is a little bit surprising.
Here's looking at you.
Casablanca,
kid.
Right?
Star Wars, there you go, A New Hope. But they have what? May the Force be with you.
Ghostbusters. That's fine.
UHF?
Shauna can quote UHF cold.
Really?
Her and Curtis, my brother-in-law, watch that movie on repeat.
Yeah.
It was the, like one of the five they had. They just know you. Like it, she showed it to me because I had never seen it before.
I don't think I've seen it either.
Up.
Again, a great movie, but I'm not sure that.
Kung Fu Panda?
Okay, so Kung Fu Panda has the like, life is full of choices, and it's like it's noodles, not to noodles. Like that one's like, Independence Day. Okay, I love that movie. It's one of my favorite movies.
But what quotes though?
Yes, we will not go quietly into the night.
Okay, the big speech. Yes, fair enough. Fair enough. I mean, the Truman Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. Right. In case it,
yeah.
Good evening. In case I don't say whatever he says. Good evening. Good day,
afternoon.
Good evening. And
in case I don't see you. Good afternoon. Good evening. And good night.
That's it. Yeah. Thank you. That's the only line from the Truman Show that lives in infamy. So maybe when he made this list for benefit of doubt, he was thinking quotes, not really quotable.
Right.
Sure.
Just like not quotable, just lines. Like
but
famous
I'm feeling
lines.
Braveheart is ahead of Independence Day because freedom
yeah.
is getting out there a lot more than.
Where are you going? I'm going to pick a fight. That's yeah. my island, right? Like, yeah. there's yeah. so many little one-liners in Braveheart that
correct.
Do way more work than
like the, as if the quote from Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire is Avada Kedavra. Like, that's
okay.
I don't know.
Batman is last on his list, which I mean is neither here nor there.
Correct.
But like, ever dance with the devil
with
in the pale moonlight.
And he, as my plastic another surgeon once said,
yeah.
if you gotta go, go with a smile.
Never rub another man's
rhubarb. Want to get nuts? Let's get nuts, right? Like, there's.
Yeah.
yeah,
between three people, there's four quotes
yeah.
that have kicked. I'm thinking somebody went with what I know as quotes instead of like really made the
which is fine because it's kind of what we did too, except for the list.
Yeah, there's a competition list where it's like you go on Letterboxd and you're like,
sure.
this is the list,
sure.
right? And then there's making a list
because is it more important that movie had more than one recognizable quote?
No.
Or is it that they had a quote that is more widely used, right?
This feels like, this list feels like it's more one line that you can very clearly define as being from that movie, as opposed to the way we're looking at it, which is quotes that make their way into our...
This list appears that this is a person and his two best friends sitting in their basement, and this is the collection of movies that they like to watch the most.
Kind of like
yeah.
what we're doing right now. Kind of,
yeah. Those of us in glass basements shouldn't throw
stones. VHS tape. All right. I mean, I dig it, Matt. I'm down.
Yeah.
But I think you were friendly. I'm sure maybe Matt's going to listen. We'll put your list up in the show notes. But I think it's friendly. I don't think it's too
I don't think
focused.
It's definitive.
Yeah, it's not definitive.
No.
Great way to put it.
Yeah. Although I was, the top of this list was excellent. Like, it was the one
correct.
That we said we're missing,
exactly.
right? Yeah, so.
He started off
yeah.
really strong.
He did, yeah, he did. And
I
think you get
up.
Lost in the weeds. Like, a 50
yeah.
is tough.
Correct.
I on my Spotify stuff, I've got a For Better Highway Driving, volumes 1 through 18.
Yes.
And they're 20 track lists. That's it. I have 18, 20 track lists that whenever someone's like, going on a road trip, I'm like, here you go.
Okay.
Making a 50 movie list, not easy.
Yeah.
Because you can get lost. A 10 list, also not easy because then you got to get condensed. I feel 25 is kind of the where you can get a little
top 10.
Bit,
just stick
yeah.
with top 10.
Yeah. Matt, stick with the top 10. Tony says so.
Exactly.
But then we had nothing but bad things to say about the other top 10. So I think we just can't be, you can't make us happy.
There's the odd list that we're like,
well, we're just...
oh, that's a good list.
Yeah.
And then there's the list where
yeah.
it's like, who paid for this list?
Correct.
And you get that when you get into the publications versus the private listing. Oh, man. Listener, thank you so much. That's it. We never know how to end the show. We just go, hey, we're done. So if you have been listening and you're like, why didn't you mention this one? Or like, oh, my God, you missed that one. Be nice. Leave a voicemail or a comment. We're friendly people here. We'll engage with you. We'd love to put your shit on the show. I know you hear this every time we talk. I know whoever listens to this. And I know some of you. And it would be fun to engage with some of you and put you in the center. Don't even use your real name. Call yourself the dude if you want. Call yourself the dudette. We don't give two fucks.
El Deuterino if you're not into that whole brevity thing.
El Deuterino, like whatever you want. But if you've got something to say and you're like a little nervous or a little apprehensive or whatever $10 word you want to put in here, forget about it. This is where we'll probably agree with you. We'll shoot the shit around.
Forget about it.
And then you'll
be Mickey Blue Eyes.
Right? Forget about it.
The name is Bond.
James Bond. One ping only, Vasilish. One ping only. And we'll put it on the show. So leave a voicemail with your idea or comment. You can ask us a question on our core page, too. It's all in the show notes. Follow the show. Subscribe to the show. Show notes, show notes, show notes. Thank you for tuning in. I've been Michael.
I've been Emily.
I've been Antonio.
See you next week. Kids, watch all the movies.
case you have any problems, dial information. Thank you for calling.